I got nothing.
You got nothing. Can you do a check for us?
I can do a test. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
No. Better than that. Come on. Come and rub my chest, baby. It hurts. You know?
Hey, are you there? Can you hear me? Are you listening? Anybody there? What?
Yes, minus, recording.
Yep.
We're on.
All right. Oh, it's recording.
Yeah. Trick you.
Oh, you're so funny.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
So.
Welcome to Gappage. We're on. Episode, we're on air live.
We are
Did you
live.
See that big sign there? Live on air recording. Don't enter the
Actually,
studio.
That on air light is really
it's bright.
Bright.
I know, but it makes it. It's a reminder that
it is
this
reminder.
Is important. What we're doing.
And you notice how quiet the crowd is.
Oh, it's very very quiet crowd. But it usually is doing that.
You got at least 50 people in here. Right?
Woo! Yeah. Woo! Did you hear that? Holy shit!
Hey.
Oh. So listen.
You're getting rowdy.
Today, I'm going to start off with another apology. Yeah. Seems like I begin every show with an apology for the last show. I got a little wasted last time, a little bit high, a little bit
drunk.
But we
didn't actually post a show.
And we didn't post a show. So the listeners, that's the apology, because you don't even get a show.
Yeah.
So this is...
We could actually cut it little snippets off and just add it to the end of every podcast. This is the episode that never happened. Because I could just go through and grab little snippets and say, this is a funny little snippet.
Yeah.
And we could just put it on the end of
How long would those little snippets be?
You know, I'm thinking, honestly, like a couple of minutes. And throw
Only a couple of minutes.
Or maybe 5 minutes.
So that'd last forever.
The episode that never happened.
Because we had about 3 hours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
But don't pull out the real substance. Pull out the crap. You know, the funny bits, the moments.
The gems.
The little gems.
The hidden gems.
The gems that stand alone and have no bearing.
Like what we're doing right now.
Well, this could be considered a gem, couldn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, shut up. You go ahead.
All right. No,
go
listen,
on with your apology.
So, welcome to Gappage episode number, we don't know what it is. And this is going to be a serious show. The reason we're doing it first, it's live podcast tonight here at the...
Imperial Pub.
Imperial Pub, right here on Dundas and Young, near Dundas Square.
Downtown Toronto.
Easy to find, downtown Toronto. Second Tuesday every month.
That's right.
Live podcast
Consistently,
tonight.
Since...
Feel pretty happy. It's been fairly successful. We've had something going on every single.
Yeah, we didn't even miss. We didn't miss Christmas. We didn't
even miss any.
No.
And we're starting off because we're going to try and do a serious one. As the evening goes on, people get a little more drunk, a little more unruly. The content tends to get a little more base. And we had said we want to keep the only way to separate Gappage from the other podcasts. Is to be a little more straight and narrow, perhaps.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I like to have fun.
And generally speaking, I would say, if you looked at everybody in the crowd, you and I, you're probably the most mature here anyway.
Vagina!
You see what I mean?
See?
Exactly.
Exhibit A.
Exhibit A. So we're going to talk about bullying tonight. This is the theme we tried to do last time.
Yeah.
And it's because I have a scene in my mind that I cannot get out of my head. And this is Brent being dragged around an elementary school yard by his legs, which are, I was going to say deformed, that's probably not the right word, but he was debilitated, he's disabled.
Yeah.
And other kids would have just thought, let's pick on this guy, he's different. And I find the cruelty, the meanness of that,
I just can't believe it.
And yet, when I think back to my own time in school, kids are merciless, we're vicious. In high school, elementary school, you picked on the weakest. You picked on anybody who was different, anybody who somehow stood out from the crowd. That's Lord of the Flies.
See, now, I thought high school was different. Elementary school, I agree wholeheartedly. Kids are mean.
Yeah.
High school, you know, the geeky kids, the kids who are passionate about something that is very different tended to stand out. That's where you started to see them in coffee houses or doing poetry or on the student council or doing something that... really was a part of who they are, and they were almost admired for being different.
Well, see, maybe that's
when I was a teenager.
When you're, so what years did you go through high school? Please say from grade 9 to 11 or 12, whatever.
What's that?
What years? No, don't listen to the crowd because they're going to be immature.
Okay, so I would have started high school in 84.
84.
And graduated 89.
89. Okay, see, I started 61, graduated 66.
Yeah.
And it was vicious back then. You found anybody who was different. We had a guy who wore contact lenses back in those days that didn't work. He had contact lenses and rubber braces in his mouth. And he was and he had a funny last name. His name was Twombly. Well, Jesus Christ.
Trombley?
No, Twombly.
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 Was he fat?
Nicknamed Tumbles. No, he was skinny. And people just were merciless. You know, they just picked on him. And the guy already had these hang-ups. Anybody who was ugly, anybody who was fat, anybody who had a funny name, anybody who was just different somehow. Yeah. So even in high school.
And you saw it through high school. So when you went to like college or university, did it subside?
The turning point for me was when I joined university. And I remember walking down the street one day, and I remember I did something stupid at university, trying to get a laugh, and nobody laughed. And it was a turning point for me in my life. I realized, wow, I don't need to be hurting somebody else or making a cheap joke to get a laugh. Like, that's not what life is about. People have moved past that. And it just, boom, I just made a switch then in my life that I realized one of the things you do, and to me it's the bystanders are worse than the actual bulliers.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to be me, so I'll just... I'm not going to say anything because those guys might turn on me. I'm glad somebody else is taking the heat. And I find that just so cowardly and so low. But I think that's, I was probably in that group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could tease somebody else to take the heat off me, good. So be it. So
yeah, I mean, I hope that that's changing a bit. As I said, when I went through high school, there was teasing, but it had subsided a great deal from elementary school, and college was completely different.
Well, college is gone. I mean, there's no reason
yeah,
for it.
You're
there's
all
no,
there with like-minded people because...
You've grown up, but somehow high school was still about survival, and how do you get by without being a victim?
Now, what about Brent? When he got to high school, did it change?
Well, his parents
for
took him out of that school, and then he did schooling in Australia. Like, he actually left the country at one point.
Oh, he did, eh?
Which I think is a claim to fame for him. I think he made a lot of friends and had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
But he only last time revealed that particular incident, and then when we tried to put this podcast together, we didn't have a chance to really
explore it with him.
And so maybe it's not really fair to be talking about it now, but it's just that, to me, that's sort of a
I'm just curious about the timing, because Brent would have been 10 years after me. So if you look at...
Oh, really?
Wouldn't he have been?
Yeah, okay. But this was in elementary school when it was happening. So in other words, elementary school hasn't changed much.
Elementary school. I'm hoping that it's changed now, that the younger kids today are more tolerant and there's more training around this. Like the kids
I think there'd be a greater risk of kids now to tease somebody, because now, certainly in Toronto, you've got such a multicultural group.
Yeah.
You can't tease somebody for being different because everybody's different. So nobody's going to stand out because of their skin color.
And it might be
a suburb thing.
I'm going to pull the audience here for a second. Hey guys, what do you think about bullying?
Bad.
No, I mean bad. Did you see it? When were you guys in high school?
Oh, shit. I graduated 10 years ago.
10 years ago. And did you see bullying as a big part of high school?
Yes.
Yeah? Not so much? And what about, you have kids. You have somebody who's in elementary. Do you think it's different today?
Probably not. I'm not totally sure, but I guess not.
No?
It still goes on, in other words. Elementary school.
Got it.
It's part of growing up.
Okay, so here's my question, because I've been thinking a lot about the topic.
Yeah.
How much of the brunt of responsibility falls on the parents? How much of it can the parents actually hinder or make it worse or make it better?
You're asking me?
I'm just asking for your opinion. Like, I'm just... You know, you're a parent.
I think that parents have very, very little to do with what goes on at recess, at school, and at lunchtime. And you know, you sort of hope your kid's not being bullied. You hope your kid's not bullying somebody.
Well, that's it. You hope your kid's not being the bully. Because where they learn that, like, I'm curious, where do those bullies learn that?
I think the old thinking was... The kids who were the bullies were that way because they were losers themselves in life, and they needed to get even, they needed to somehow...
But who were they losers to? Like, I can only think that they'd be losers in their
family,
which is
really
sad. Well,
they were stupider. I mean, I would say, generally speaking, people who bullied were stupider than the average kid. I mean, I'm not being funny saying that.
No, I know.
I think that's
Except
just...
I question whether stupider is actually a word, but anyways, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say less intelligent because it's a different kind of intelligence.
No, but I know what you mean by stupider.
They're already having a hard time in school themselves. They're not getting great grades. They're certainly
they're deflecting.
Not the smartest kids. You know, the students who are pulling off A's or E's back in my day aren't the ones who are doing the bullying. It's the kids who are failing, getting U's on their reports, half they are frustrated.
What's a U?
Unsatisfactory.
We don't do that anymore.
No. No, you probably never had stars. Now, did you ever have stars when you were in elementary? Because I had on my report card. I remember you had different colored stars.
No.
Gold, silver, blue.
We had the satisfactory.
For achievement. But we had ours are E, V, G, G, F. Uh-oh. And F didn't mean fail. It meant fair. And U was unsatisfactory. And U was the biggest embarrassment you could possibly get. If you got a U, you were a retard.
A real.
You were stupid.
And you bullied other kids to make up for it.
Exactly.
So I'm wondering if those kids who went home with their U's got bullied by their parents. This is my question. I'm curious. If there's something at home that's kind of, they're now deflecting that at school. You know?
Suspect the parents were just as stupid as the kids who got the U's. It was sort of bred. I know that sounds, I don't know.
We're no authority on bullying, so we can say whatever we want. But, I mean, it strikes me that, I agree with you.
Because I think the kids who we picked on were weaker. And so it wasn't, those are the ones you'd think would want to strike out. The ones who were poor, the ones who didn't have. I mean, we had to wear, the girls had to wear tunics, boys had to wear certain,
I wore a tunic.
Clothes, yeah. But I think you could tell who had money and who didn't. And people who were poorer were picked on more.
Yep. Do you think girls or boys have it worse?
I think it's a different kind of bullying. And I can't speak about the girls' bullying. It's, I hear stories of how vicious it is. But the boys were... Nobody worried about being beaten up. Because people would say, I'm going to beat you up after school. And nobody cared as much about that. You didn't like it. But it was the teasing in class at recess, the teasing in front of the other students that hurt more, I think. I mean, running around telling somebody they got, bugs. You'd chase somebody. We'd play cootie tag. You'd run up to the ugliest girl at school, touch her, say you got the bugs, and then race around chasing everybody else in the schoolyard to give them the bugs. We did that. I mean, that was the game.
You did bully the girls.
It was a game. It was healthy. We were running around, getting exercise,
Did you accuse them of stuffing a bra?
Not in elementary school, no. No, but there was the rumors of for 25 cents you can go down a little pig alley and squeeze somebody's tits in high school. That was 25 cents, for a feel.
In the 60s, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
61. Yeah.
I had a Clark bar and a newspaper.
It's like $150,000.
You were in high school in when?
61 to 66. I was there when Kennedy was shot, and we had to call an assembly and do all that stuff. So it was, it was different, and it was just sort of pre-pot. I'm very glad I got through high school without having to make the decision whether to do drugs or not.
Oh, nothing in high school?
There was rumors of it, but it wasn't around, 65, and then 67 came along, and that was the Summer of Love, and that was Expo in Montreal, and everything blossomed. It all happened. So I don't know. I think we're going a little off track. I don't think we're doing a very serious job of dealing with the issue of bullying.
I mean, we're not. Hey, I'll say it again. We can only pass our opinions about bullying because we're not experts and we don't have the solutions. But it's worth a dialogue just to know where it stands.
What I particularly liked was my son was invited to attend a high school when he was in elementary school that Pinball Clemens gave our Toronto Argonaut Star, a man I greatly admire. And he brought in some other football players with him, and they just sort of made them get up on stage and talk to the high school kids. And basically he was saying, the bystanders are the ones you want to get. You can't change the bullies. The victims, sometimes, I don't think he quite said they bring it on themselves, but some people are just better at being victims, and some even celebrate being a victim. But the ones he wanted to get were the bystanders, the ones who stood around when something bad was happening and didn't have the courage to do anything. Rooted them on or even just were passive about didn't do anything. And I believe that message so strongly.
Yeah.
You can't change everybody. You can't fix all the bullies. But his message was you can fix the bystanders, the ones who stand around. And you think that applies to war, that applies to every situation in life. People just want to, it's not me or it's not my problem. And to make this a better world, everybody has to be involved and everybody has to step up. And I thought it was a wonderful message.
You used to be like in Glee.
With
that school with the zero bullying tolerance.
At Glee? Yeah, well.
No.
She's married though.
Oh, yeah, I guess next man.
Better. You're talking about, okay.
On Glee, not be this school.
Yeah, Glee, the show.
The private school that the gay kid goes to.
Oh, yeah.
They have zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance for bullies. Well, I mean,
or for homophobes, for that matter.
No.
Well, let's
slushies in the face.
No slushies.
I remember that part. But listen, let's talk about gays too back then, because that was a form of anybody who was even suspected of being gay was just so ostracized, so laughed at, so treated so harshly. It was yellow socks. If you wore yellow, the trick was yellow socks on Thursday meant you were declaring you were gay. They didn't even use the word gay. You're a homo.
You're a homo.
Who owned yellow socks? In the 60s?
Exactly. Exactly. Weren't very many, but anybody who suspected it maybe having it did was a homo. And that was. And then there was the Bobo class, the Grade 10 Bobes. They were called the kids who couldn't get through the normal stream. They weren't in academic. They weren't in the Latin core. It was Latin or science. The stream. You had to decide in Grade 7. Are you Latin or science? And I was told, well, I think you're science. Meaning, not as smart as the Latin guys. But then there was the commercial people who learned to type. And they were nicknamed the grade 10 Bobes. The Bobos. You see, it was funny now, it was funny then. And they were,
like,
you know,
everybody references.
Just knew.
The Bobes.
Well, the Bobes.
See, now, when I was in high school, it was cool to be gay. It was cool to be bi.
Oh, God, how it's times have changed. So, in other words, things are a little better than they were, because then...
I don't know where it is now. That's, you know...
It's definitely cool for women to be bi now. Breaking news.
Coming from Picard 102.
There we go.
Now, I don't think that would have reversed itself. I don't think it would have gone backwards.
No, I don't think
people...
So.
I mean, the school my son went to, I think the year before he was there, somewhere he used to go to school in a dress all the time. And just accept it. Oh, yeah, that's who he is. That's what he's like. And that's cool.
Exactly. Okay, so I was reading
this
article.
That would not have been possible back in the 60s. Absolutely not.
And I don't even think in the 70s. So, you know, I think it was a turning point around the 80s, and we started talking about it. And they started making the after-school specials.
Maybe music had a lot to do with that, too, do you think? I mean, did music sort of lead? Like, how is it, then? We should be addressing this question.
Yeah.
People are more tolerant now and more forgiving than they used to be. Like, what else
has
changed?
I think it is media. I don't think it's music specifically, but I think media and exposure, and that, you know, we see fun circumstances where, you know, it's cool to be gay. The after-school specials back in the 80s were, you know.
So who do we have to thank for that? Like, who were the people who
Aaron
actually
Spelling.
blazed the trail?
Richardson.
I don't think I'd give it to Aaron Spelling.
No?
No.
I don't think we should give anything to that.
But somebody gradually knocked down these doors and made it easier. Because the change didn't happen on its own. People just didn't get better. Somebody else said, hey, wow, this is it. And it was a gradual... I didn't see it when I was in school.
That's still something to be bullied about. It's not like a monumental thing that was knocked down. You still get made fun of being gay in school.
It depends.
I guess it depends on the school.
The card knows from experience. Yeah, definitely. Make fun of gay people. Don't try and say I was gay. I see where you're going with this, asshole.
But if you were, it would be okay.
He really is. He's always trying.
The people who were gay and like were out, yeah, they got made fun of. But they were free in the ways that the other people were not.
Right? Yeah.
Because they could just be totally like flaming, and everyone would be like, "Ah, he's gay."
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I mean, once it was out. There was nothing left to. It was the people who were hiding it that there was something to go after.
I'm curious to know when that got broken down, though, because it certainly wasn't in my time. You're saying it's not necessarily in the 70s. So
I think it was the 80s.
Well, so what happened in the 80s? Like, why were the 80s special?
AIDS?
I mean, I look back.
I don't know. Anybody? 80s?
I'm always interested in this because I'm looking back to why the hippie movement came, and that was the Beats.
I'll do some research before our next podcast if you want and try to get an answer. But
if you think you might have one.
Right. I'll look.
So we've done bullying, we've done acceptability of being gay.
Well, I wanted to talk about bullying because I read an article that talked about, you know, when we said we were going to talk about bullying, I was like, yeah, bullying in school, bullying it.
Oh, you were bullied.
Yeah, and I was bullied. But it was talking about bullying as adults, and particularly in organizations like where you have a board. And usually there's that one person who tends to bully the other board members, and or you see it in a church, or
I'm on a board and I see it.
And I hadn't identified it, because I am on a board, and I hadn't identified this person as a bully. And the article went on to say is that usually as an adult we say, oh, that's just what Ken is like. That's just Ken's way. Mm-hmm. And the article was basically saying if you want your board to be successful, you have to call it out. You have to name it. Ken, you're being a bully.
Yeah.
And you can't deal with it until you name it. And then I started to think about this board I'm on, and this particular person. I thought, oh my gosh, she is a bully. What she's doing is inappropriate. And how many times we see it as adults, but we pass it off as like, oh, this is just their personality.
That's a very good point, because we assume adults have outgrown bullying, but in fact they still do it. They put other people down. I see it. Yeah, I can see that. Boards in particular are
because it's a power trip, right? Yep. It's about who's going to get the power, who's going to get their way.
So that goes back, and you can do that in reverse. Then it's about power. By bullying somebody else, the school ground, you're taking the heat away from yourself, but you're also exerting some power you don't have in the classroom, you don't have with the teacher. Exactly. But if you can make somebody else feel like shit, you've got power.
Yeah.
To do it. We were terrified. We had pink bellies. I don't know if I mentioned this last time when we were in school. Middle of winter, you raced around the school ground, like three or four of the meanest guys in school would go around, grab somebody, nail them, knock them down the ground, rip up their shirt, and then just tap their stomach with their fingers as much as you could. Like just beat on their stomach until it turned pink from the exposure and the cold. It was weird, and you were scared of it. Like, you didn't want to be given a pink belt. It was cold, it was miserable, you were going to feel. But you just, and it was embarrassing to be trapped in front of the girls, to be knocked down and had your belly exposed, and people pounding on it, just to make it go pink. And then they'd just yell, pink belly, and then they'd get up like vultures, and okay, who's next? And you look around, and you're, holy fuck, how do I disappear here? How do I not get in their line of vision?
How do they choose?
This is the thing, you
know? How do they get chosen?
Yeah. And I just remember it was a fad. It probably lasted two winters at the elementary school I went to, and nobody liked it, and it was miserable.
Pink belly.
I think it became wedgies later on. Was I think the equivalent?
Really?
Because wedgies were in the '80s, weren't they? Seventies.
Seventies.
Yeah. I never happened to me, but I remember I had nephews and nieces who'd say, "Oh my God, the terror!"
My sons talk about wedgies.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So it's passed down generation to generation.
Wet willy, I hate those. Okay, well, just wondering. So that's kind of harmless. There's a difference between teasing.
Beat him up.
There's a difference between teasing and bullying.
There is a difference, but it's a fine line.
Yeah.
Right? Like if these guys all said, oh, I'm going to give Janine a wet willy, and everybody started giving me a wet willy, I'd be really pissed off.
Oh, you betcha. And you'd start swinging.
Yeah,
you've already admitted to being a bit of a tomboy. You'd pound back and pull back off and do it again.
Yeah.
Right? But you got bullied. You want to talk about your bullying? You said you were bullied in elementary school, or you don't want to go there.
No, you know what? In a way, I'm going to say this. I did bring it on myself. I spoke differently. I was brought up by British parents, so I spoke proper. You know,
so you were different.
Smarter? Superior?
I spoke superior. I did. And
pretty superiority about you?
Yes, I did.
Did you feel superior to the other kids inside?
No, not at all. But I'm aware of this. Like, I was very thus and so. Things had to be a certain way. Like, if the teacher said it had to be done this way, I'd say no. Ken, we have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And I wasn't bossy, but I was just so. Miss Pris.
I would have hated you so much in school.
I know I brought it on myself.
Yeah.
And
you were the kind of girl I just, oh, God. I hated having her in my class.
Exactly. And then there was a whole bunch of me. I know I brought it on myself.
How would you have felt about me? Would you have felt that stupid dork, you know, the same thing? Like he doesn't pay attention, doesn't follow the rules.
I didn't care about other people.
Oh.
But if I was involved and the rules said this way, well, this is what the rules are. This is what we're supposed to do it this way.
Okay.
Square.
I was square. I was dorky. You know, it was just.
Right.
Yeah.
The worst.
It is. I was square and dorky, and I had funny clothes. You know.
But you when was the transition for you?
The transition
when you
was high school,
and you could and be yourself, and it was okay.
You know what? I bought. I sort of went punk, and I bought a studded belt. And I threw caution to the wind. And the day that happened, I remember one of the most popular girls in school said, "Nice belt." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? It is a stinking nice belt, and I'm going to wear it." And in the past, what I would have done is taken off the belt and never worn it again because the popular girls gave me that nice belt.
Like sarcastically?
Sarcastic. It wasn't a compliment. And it's like, you know what? Screw you. I'm going to wear my stinking belt. And then from that, in my own mind, I never said anything to her, but the fact that I kept wearing the belt and the fact that I developed my own style and met friends and got involved in music and joined a band and played the coffee houses, turning point. Nobody bugged me.
You became a somebody.
I was a nobody who got involved in stuff.
Yeah.
I wasn't, I actually tried to avoid my high school as much as possible. The people in my high school, it was very preppy. It was very, very well off.
Oh, this was this private girl's school?
No, it wasn't a private school. It was just in the very, it was in Oakville.
Yeah.
And it was,
This is one Brent knew about.
Yes. And Brent, okay. Brent knew, and he, you know, right. He knows what I'm talking about. It's just, yeah. And once I made that decision, you know, I never looked back.
It's a pity he can't be here tonight to join me. I think we should be announced. Brent had family priorities he had to attend to. And so we're not going to pick on him for not being here.
No.
It's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
Timing. Now, then, is there any advice, then, for the people who are being bullied? Is there anything that we would say that could help people? Like your message is sort of like persevere, just be yourself, hang in there, and you'll get through it.
I think the moment that you decide that you love who you are, like, I don't want to be all like, hey, but I mean, the moment you decide, like, I like who I am, and it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks, I think that changes everything. It's a game changer.
But it's really, really hard for some people to reach that point. And, you know, if you've got other issues and other problems, it's a monumental struggle.
So it's more about,
To get up to that point, to accept yourself.
Yeah.
So is bullying beneficial then at some point? Make stronger people.
Boy named Sue.
Bullying made me a stronger person. I certainly, in the work that I do and people managing people, my attitude towards managing people has changed primarily because of bullying. And I think I'm a much better manager of people because of that. So I don't have any regrets, even though I didn't like it. I don't regret it.
Made you who you are today.
It did.
Yeah.
So you're pro-bullying, then? That's where this conversation is.
I see where this
is going.
Yeah, he's only trying to cheapen the show. He's
you're provoking.
Don't do it.
He's trying to find holes in your argument. He's like a offensive.
I think he has the marks of somebody who was teased a lot when he was young.
Yeah.
So he's got to come back with those retorts. So we'll leave that.
It's made me who I am.
Yeah. So there's a good and a bad side, too.
Yeah, there is.
It works in some cases. Yeah. Some people get stronger. Some people just get
weak.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's anywhere else to go from here. I'm sort of done on the topic.
Yeah.
It's kind of a serious topic. I've kept it. I've managed not to take it off stream, off target.
It's pretty serious.
It's not been very much fun. I haven't really enjoyed this.
So besides, let's go away from bullying for a second.
Can we lighten up?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like,
step outside, have a talk.
Yeah, you want to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll come back and record the last 10-minute closer. The before and after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any messages for Brent? Brent, we're with you.
Brent, miss you. It's not the same without you.
That's true. Brent's a good guy.
Yeah, because now Ken just picks on me.
Well, I haven't started yet.
No, I know. See, the night is young. We recorded early, and I'll have no... Well, I'll turn this on if you start picking on me. That's what it's going to come down to.
There we go. All right. Oh, yeah. We should... Well, no, but we should. I just heard somebody say there's a gap there. Is there a gap? Have we explored it? I think
there was
at least
a gap.
What was the gap?
No, the gap was about
the
difference...
the 60s and the 80s.
Yeah.
There was a gap.
Yeah.
Between us, in particular... you were the girl I would have hated in school.
Oh,
is that a gap?
I guess that is a gap. Well, I mean, it's a personality gap. It's not an age gap.
I probably would have pulled your hair in elementary school.
Well, you see...
You got red hair. You had red hair back then.
I had red hair, and...
The red hairs are the worst.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I remember I wore, on St. Patrick's Day, I wore a pink ribbon in my hair. I had a long hair, and it was braided. Yeah. And... I was being made fun of, and I went to the student counselor, the counselor. I was only in grade 4 or 5, right? I was a little kid. And I said, I'm so sad because they're making such fun of me. And she turned to me and said, well, you really shouldn't have worn a pink ribbon on St. Patrick's Day.
No, meaning it should have been green?
Yeah. And that, like, basically, you're asking for it. She actually said it to me.
Do you take any solace in the fact that counselor is probably dead now?
No, she was a horrible counselor. Honestly, horrible.
But I wonder about that. Like, why were you, just oblivious to the fact that it was St. Patrick's Day? Or is it you're sort of the English, I'm English, I'm not Irish? Is that it?
I don't know. I just happened to put a pink ribbon in my hair.
Okay.
It was
oblivious to the whole
thing. Oblivious to the whole thing.
And got teased for it.
And I got
and you went and tattled. See, that's another reason why I wouldn't like you. You're a tattletale. I hated tattlers. Honestly, back in school, had we been around, ended up in the same thing, I would have hated you for your red hair. I would have hated you because you were a do-gooder. I hated you because you could talk properly. Hated you because you just, you squealed on people. You probably, if somebody did something wrong, you probably told the teacher.
Probably.
So you deserve to be bullied. You're the type who should have asked for it.
I said that.
Yeah, okay. Well, there we go. I just
He's
needed to...
You're mean.
Yes, I was mean. It was a matter of survival.
And do you regret it?
Or
do you think that's what made you who you are? I mean,
I was properly shamed. I told you that. When I left school, I was very ashamed of myself for the amount of cheap laughs I used to get. Like, I humiliated a couple of teachers. I did it deliberately to bring down. And I hurt a couple of teachers publicly, and I feel really shamed for that. I've done a lot of things in my life I feel shamed for. And it was a cheap laugh. Some guy was trying to be sincere, and I questioned his sincerity. And it was Mr. Tobali. He was from Morocco, in fact. And he talked about the old days, how when he was in Morocco, he'd have to stay back, and they were lucky to have a blackboard and so on. And he apologized. The last day of class, he apologized if he had been tough on us at all for trying to teach us French. And I stood up in class. I stood up, and I said, Mr. Tobali, on behalf of the class, I just want to tell you, you never gave us anything we didn't deserve. And I was being so insincere, and it was so obviously a mockery of his honesty. It was the cruelest thing I could have done. It was vicious. And it just totally embarrassed him in front of everybody. Like, it just took everything away from what he had just said. And, like, why did that? And I got a cheap laugh out of it. But some of the people, even then, some of the other students said, hey, whoa, that's over the line. What the fuck did you do that for? You know, what an asshole. And I think that stuck with me. So I would say
that's it stuck with
those things changed me and made me better. Like, I realized, and the fact that I can still remember that now, somebody else who I made fun of and I felt they deserved that, I don't care. But in his case, it was unjust, uncalled for. It was a cheap shot, and I really resent cheap shots. I think it's poor, and I think he,
he didn't have to come to your apology. I mean, he may listen one day. You never know.
He's long since gone, and other teachers, deserve to be teased. They're assholes. They couldn't control a class. Hey, you got to come into it. But that was below the belt.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a good thing I did it, because when I realized it wasn't as funny as I thought it might have been, or whatever. Because I think
what was his response when you said it?
He just stood there, and I think it was a little bit of shock, a little bit of looking, and I think somehow it conveyed to me, you little fucking asshole, I don't know, to this day, like, he might have been insincere, and this might have been his regular every end-of-year speech every year, and that brought something out of me. I don't know. But I tend to think if you're going to find somebody guilty, it's going to be me in that class. Now, when I was in elementary school, and this is what's interesting about that story, when I was in elementary school, the teacher said, okay, you've got to write a story about Man of the Year. Everybody has to write. It was a composition, And I just, unprompted, stood up in the middle of class and said, okay, for those of you who are having trouble with this assignment, don't know who to write about for Man of the Year, you can write about me. And I got the biggest laugh. Like, even the teacher, just, wow. Like, it was unprompted, came out. And so maybe, like, that was a grade 6 self, suddenly a grade 11 self, that maybe I was going for the same laugh or something.
Yeah.
And
it just didn't fly.
It didn't fly, and it shouldn't have flown.
And, it's funny that you say that, because the turning point for me, because the other thing was I was immensely shy, but my shyness manifested itself, and I talked a lot. A lot. A lot more than I ever should. And you know when you talk without a filter?
Yeah.
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah. And the shy people get picked on, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just talked. And one of the things I learned was, don't talk. Just stop and listen. Don't say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, I've become more quiet as a result. So I don't say everything when I think it, which is a good thing. But that came as a result.
See, I got away with be my role in high school to survive. I wasn't a brain, I wasn't a jock, I wasn't this or that, but I became the class clown, and I took a lot of pride in it. And every year throughout, I was one of the clowns. And
clowns
people
aren't bullies.
Respected.
Clowns
I wasn't
mean.
Not necessarily a bully, no. And I never got beat up because of it, because even the toughest guys really liked my smart mouth.
Yes.
And so it was my survival. And basically, high school was about survival.
Yeah.
So that part wasn't so bad. Just, you know, hey, all right, I'll get to what I'll find. And I'm not afraid to be thrown out of class or have a teacher pissed off at me. That's
yeah.
cool. So that was a big part of it to do. I feel better now.
Do you feel better?
Yeah, I wasn't so bad, you know. No, I did a few bad things, but not everything I did was
I
bad.
I like you.
Thank you very much. But you know what? I'm going to conclude this with that. I got an email from a friend today saying I am totally self... One of my best friends. I am totally self-absorbed. I don't care about anybody else's feelings. And I am just... I have no empathy for anybody's problems. And I feel, well, isn't that a little uncalled for? But it, from his point of view, yeah. This
that's
is,
what
this
he said
is,
to you.
Oh, that's who he thinks I am.
Today.
And it's not the first time. Yeah, this is a person I've known for 30 years, you know. Who nails me with that? And I think, well, no, I don't want to hear about health. You know, when somebody has a health problem, I say, I don't like talking about health. I don't want to hear about health issues. It's just depressing. We'll talk about it. It doesn't mean I don't care. I care when somebody dies or gets really sick, but I don't want to dwell on it.
Yeah.
But from his point of view, no, I'm just selfish, self-absorbed and so on. But this is somebody who refuses to listen to my podcast. Well, what kind of a friend? Like, he deliberately refuses to even acknowledge the fact that I'm doing something. But that's another story. And, it's nothing to do with bullying and it's off topic. So
no, but I mean, that's interesting. That's what you're hearing today after all the revelations.
Well, because I go around thinking I'm actually a pretty nice guy, and actually I'm quite kind to people as a rule, and actually I do care about people.
But you did say, your closest friends, that you give them a hard time.
I give my closest friends a hard time?
Yeah, like you'll ride people a little bit. Like when we're talking about Brent, and you know, hey, when are you going to get off your ass and, you know, edit a podcast, or, you know, just little...
Okay, so I am, you're saying that I still have that meanness in me.
Well, we may not use it. If you didn't know better. No, I'm not denying, because you do.
Right.
Your email to me this week, what was your email this week? You said you two lazy so-and-sos for not editing the content, right? Like, that's your way.
That's my way.
Now,
yeah.
Back to that article. Now I say, well, that's just the way Ken is. Or is Ken trying to exert power over our podcast?
Yeah. Well,
right?
It's actually, I really think
are
it really,
you bullying us?
I really think it's more my podcast that I've invited you guys to be on, right? To be the truth. You know, you're saying, like, it shocks me when you say our podcast. What do you mean our? You're just an intern.
I'm representing
you're
Brent.
An intern, and
Brent,
you are
I'm representing you.
Uppity,
yeah, our
you know?
Podcast. Yeah, I'm going to get uppity.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yep.
No, I
see.
To
you just tore me down.
It's my way. It's my way of loving.
Give the podcast to the intern. That's the. I'll start a petition.
The thing is, I honestly feel if the people who you can't be close to, you can't tease. The people to me, teasing is a way of showing somebody, hey, we're really tight. We're really close.
Well, it's a very British thing too. Like the Brits, they have a raw sense of humor when it comes to their closest friends.
One that I like and admire, that type of sense of humor. And maybe that's part of it. But to me, that's definitely the deal.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you tease somebody
like
to show
that.
How much you care
See,
for.
See, I tease my closest friends. I give my girlfriends a hard time.
Yeah.
And I do. And
me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's power.
All right, I guess we've wound this down then. I don't feel entirely satisfied about this.
I mean,
but,
there's no conclusive thing. It is what it is, right? I mean... We found some gappages in the world of bullying around us, and I mean, you're never going to get a differing view of bullying is good or bad. I mean, what do you expect?
No.
One of us is going to say, "No, I think bullying's a good thing. It keeps us strong."
I think the thing is, I think part of the podcasting is it has to allow for self reflection, and I like to feel we did just a little bit of that and
sure
so on.
Did.
You're happy with who you are as a person now, and you're a good mother, and you're kind, and you understand it's not nice to hurt other people, and so on. And I like to think I'm the same. I mean, here tomorrow I'm doing another community mediation. I'm actually going in and caring and helping people. I'm being very sincere about it.
Yeah.
So I actually take a great deal of resentment about the people who don't see it, who maybe don't see past my superficialities and my teasing and so on, that actually I think at core I do care about people. I am quite
maybe
nice
you still
person.
Have a little bit of that wall up that
there's
you had in before that you sort of say, I'm going to put out this persona because it protects me, and you're not letting these people in.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Right? I mean, you do have a persona. I see it. I saw it at PAB. I mean, it took me how long before I got to know you? It was this sort of wall. And
a wall, right?
It's a wall. Sure it is. And
I'm not even aware of that. I don't know how other people see me. But I guess it's a game to me.
It's a game. Exactly. And either people are playing the game or they're not. And if they're not playing the game, they don't get an opportunity to get close to you. It was only when I started to play that I got to know you.
Yeah, but the thing is, I picked you, though. I mean, I just said...
I think I picked you.
Well, then it's mutual. But, what I would say then is certain people identify each other very quickly.
Yes.
Boom. There's somebody I can play with.
Yes.
And you go for it. And you make a point of doing it.
Yeah.
Which we've done.
Like, exactly.
And so I would say a heartfelt on this episode, this friendship with you is very important to me. It's very important that you, I figure... I don't feel there's any limit to the extent, like, she's going to be upset about that. I got to watch this. I got to worry about that.
No.
And those are the kind of friendships I want. And any friendship where I've got to worry about hurting somebody's feelings, fuck off.
Well, exactly.
I don't want to have anything to do with it. Don't waste my time.
And that's a lot to do with as
we
grow up.
So it takes a certain type.
You know, like, I'd rather have friends that I can just be myself with than have to be something I'm not.
Well, that's a better note to end on, I think. And I guess you're just questioning it.
Yeah, and I don't know what to say about Brent and, you know.
Well, I think Brent's in on this. I think Brent's got a wicked sense of humor. This is one of the things I like about Brent. He's quick.
Oh, yeah.
He's sharp. He's funny. He can be is it self-depreciating? Is that the
yep.
word? I don't know if that's the term. No,
deprecating.
Self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Thank you. Much better. His value just continues to go down like an old guy.
He's depreciating every episode.
I know.
He's not even
Brent,
here tonight.
Certainly going to be worthless. but it's kind of fun, and it's fun that we've done. And to me, big picture, backing up. To me, the fact that you, me, and Brent have created this little thing for the fun of doing a podcast, for the fun of being friends, for the fun of just doing it, is really important. And it's a message that's important. And it's a message that counteracts the loneliness, the fear, the anxiety of all the other things that go with bullying and fear and being left out.
Yep.
The idea is to make friends and bring them close and have fun, you know?
Yep. And so if I could, on closing... The next episode that we record is just pre-PAB.
Is it?
It is, because it'd be June, right?
Yeah.
It's May, right?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to name dates?
Of course.
Beep, 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 June, right? So, and Brent's coming to PAB, and that's where this whole thing started on the boat.
Yeah.
Right?
It's on our anniversary, is it?
So it'll be our
anniversary. Is it only 1 year?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, of course it was Ottawa. I mean, listen, we should do a podcast. At PAB.
Absolutely. What's going to be our pre-PAB podcast?
We'll do the same as last year. Brent and I will smoke up and we won't invite you. And then we'll get on the boat. We'll be high having fun and we'll just... No?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's no fun.
That part's changed?
That's changed. Okay. I'm making new rules.
Yes.
I'm going to be the bully on this one.
Good.
But what's our pre-PAB podcast?
What about?
Our prepping... Next month.
I know that.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, we got to know now. Fuck, I don't know. You see, now you're back to that little brat in grade four, the red hair. What do we have to do next month? Fuck you. Don't ask her now.
No, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck
you.
You
want to sit outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. I feel terrible if I punched you in the face, though. I really would be. Because you got a big nose. I'd probably break it. You know, and I'd smash those glasses. And I'd feel awful. I'd feel just awful.
Did I mention I took boxing?
Then Steve would probably come and probably, you know, be embarrassed about the whole thing. You feel, Ken, I really should be hitting you in the face, but you're a nice guy. I really don't want to do it. But
I'll let
you
my wife do it.
Why'd you get my wife?
Oh, you'd be so much in trouble. I would totally take you
down. All right. Not going to do it. I'm all about audience. You probably would. You'd meet me right in the balls, wouldn't you? You'd probably do that and take me down and then fucking get me down the ground and slug me. Somebody have to pull you off me, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay,
Let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the friends part, okay? Friends? We're good?
I don't know. I think you made a threat.
No, I did not. I just ran through a scenario.
I'll let you close this podcast. I'm out of it.
I ran through a scenario and decided, no, we're not going to do that.
My union rep will be there.
Oh, yeah. Anthony. Big Ant. All right.
I'm not talking anymore.
See you next month. Mm-hmm. Talk to you then. Bitch. Yeah, seriously, right.
Hey.
Closing out.
Close up.
Right.
I'm not talking anymore.
Stopping now.
Stop.
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 Stop. Stop. Last word.
Stop.
Yeah, one. Bully on the blind. The black, gonna clean your clock. He's gonna take your lunch, 'cause he likes the flavor. He's not gonna kick your ass today as a special favor. Bully really digs you, you know it too. He's wearing his ripped fatigues just for you. Bully on the block loves to unshine. He likes to